If anybody wants to take the text, I always offer that as an option. Are you able to sort this out?
Okay, thank you.
So this is a Hashkafa Shia for Parashas Truma. And we start with the Pasuk. Maybe we can close that door. By Daber Hashem al Moshe Lemar. Daber al Bnei Yisrael, the Kuli Truma Meis Kol Isha Sheyid Venu Libo Tikhu Es Trumasi. So the Pasuk tells us that Moshe gets the command from on high to tell the people of Israel to bring Truma. This is the contribution for the building of the Mishkan. And the Pasuk emphasizes the voluntary nature of this contribution. It says, "Mikol ish asher yidvenu libo." If his heart prompts him, there was no kfiyah, there was no forcing. If somebody refused to come forward with this money, there was no coercion. Normally, we have the Jewish law is not democratic. You know, kofen ala mitzvah. If a person refuses to fulfill a mitzvah, we beat him up. But not in this case. This is the exception to the rule. Here, a person has to be motivated and on his own voluntary basis to bring the truma. Now, what we want to find is some sort of eternal message in this mitzvah. After all, we don't have the Mishkan, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. What could we take for ourselves today in contemporary life that would be meaningful and would be a fulfillment of the Yikhuli Truma? If you look in the second paragraph, he quotes a Medrash that emphasizes the word v'yikhu, right? The source, the root of the word v'yikhu is kach, and we find another pasuk in Mishle, in this case, where that same shoresh, that same root appears. And in Mishle, Shlomo HaMelech says, ki lekach tov nasati lochem torasi al tazovu. And the word lekach is now being compared to the word v'yikhu at the beginning of our parasha. And what does it mean, v'yikhu? And how could this message of v'yikhu li truma be applicable even in our time when we don't have the Midrash? The answer is that the Midrash says that v'yikhu is an allusion to lekach tov. Lekach tov is the Torah. And it means that there's some connection between the truma that was brought and contributed for the building of the Mishkan and our Torah. And the Balaturim is going to give us the secret. Where do we see some sort of a remez in the parish of Yikuli Truma to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Says the Balaturim, which you'll see it's the third paragraph, if you're following me in the text, it's in the dark print. He takes the word Torah, and he takes the word Truma, and he compares the two words. Now if you take a look, Torah is made up of four letters, correct? Yes. Truma is made up of five letters. But out of those five letters, four of them are the same as Torah. Right? The Truma starts with a Tav. Right. And then it goes on, if you skip the Resh, to a Vav. So that's already Tov. And then you go back to the Resh, and you have Torah, and then the Hey. And you're left with the Mem. Says the Balaturim, what is the significance of the Mem over here? Truma adds a Mem. Mem is the number what? 40. HaTorah nitna l'mem yom. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, and he receives the Torah. So the Balaturim says that there's a remez here in the word Truma to the study of Torah, because Torah is a 40-day process. Jeremy, good to see you. I was wondering if you're around. I think we may have an extra copy here if you want.
Let me go outside then.
Okay. We couldn't live without you, Jeremy. Okay. So that's the chiddush of the Balaturim. Now the Balaturim adds the following. There's something called a truma min hashamayim. Right, our truma means what we initiate here on earth, and we bring the contribution. But there's also something that comes down from heaven. And that's what's called man. Man is, of course, given to the people of Israel, our forefathers, for 40 years in the desert. And as a result, Chazal say, they were able to dedicate themselves to spiritual matters. Lo nitna Torah, the famous Mechilta, Parshas B'Shalach, El li ochle aman. those who were able to receive the man, they didn't need any sort of, this is like, you know, a dream world. This is like ideal. Imagine, you don't have to go out there and worry about making a parnasa because it's falling down from the heavens. You know, some people learn in Kolel, they get man min shamayim, okay, if they're zocha. Other people are suffering in Kolel, and that's what we're going to discuss today. And says the Baal HaTurim, when it says here in the parasha of Truma, that the yikhuli, what it means is ki lekach tov nasati lachem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm going to give you my truma. You give me your truma, which is Torah, and I'll give you my truma, which is the man. And therefore, kol misha osek b'Torah, if somebody dedicates himself to this, to the study of Torah, ki ilu lokeach li, he's sort of like bringing something to me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in turn rewards him with a truma of min hashamayim, some sort of truma which is going to support the people. Now, when you gave truma back at the time of truma, who did you give the truma to?
The Kohanim,
right? And the Kohanim were dedicated to serve Hashem. So they didn't have time to go out there in the fields and plant and harvest and market their produce. So how did they support themselves so that they can dedicate themselves to the service? Through the Truma. So the concept of Truma is very much connected to the fact that a person who wants to dedicate himself to the service of God can do so. He doesn't have to worry, so to speak, about going out and making a living because he gets the Truma. And here in this parasha, there's a remez for those who want to dedicate themselves to Torah, the Torah that was given in 40 days. Okay, we have to see the significance of the 40 days. And therefore Hashem responds by giving Truma. So if we do our part of Torah Mem, and therefore Li Lishmi, we do it for the sake of Shemayim, then there's going to be a process of Truma similar to that of the Kohanim. And therefore, if you take a look on the bottom right, he quotes the Zohar. The Zohar says something similar to what it says in the Baal HaTurim. He says, Is Truma Midoraisa Torah Mem. In other words, he takes the word Truma, breaks it up into two parts. One part is Torah, and then the Mem. Vahai Ihu Truma Torah, and he who dedicates himself to Torah brings his Truma, which is the Torah of 40 days. And Ki Lekach Tov Nasati Lechem in the Medrash means that even in our time, Hashem says Lekach. Lekach is the Torah. The Torah is called Lekach Tov, and Hashem says Nasati Lechem Torasi. I give you my Torah. That is a reward for the Yichlu Truma, because we, any one of us, are willing to dedicate ourselves to the study of Torah that was given in 40 days. So anyone sitting in this room today can honestly and absolutely claim that he has fulfilled the mitzvah of Yichluli Truma, because he took time out of his busy schedule to come and learn Torah. And that itself is a great act of sacrifice, which is a truma. Truma means a contribution to Hashem. And if we do this l'shem shamayim, then Hashem is going to promise us a great reward that comes down from the heavens. I don't know if it's the rains, for those who are learning Masechta Tainis. Anyone here learning Tainis? Okay. Do the rains come from Shemayim? Do we know? You didn't get to that sugi.
We were just learning that today.
Oh, wow. That's unbelievable. There's a whole sugi about where the rains come from. But we're going to assume it comes from Shemayim, and that's going to be the Truma Meis Hashem.
Excuse me, Rabbi. Is there a parallel here between supporting someone else who's learning Torah and giving the Truma?
Yeah, that was last week's discussion. You missed it. But you can listen to it on YU Torah. Okay, I'll send you a link. Just give me your email address.
Yes, the whole thing in the weekend on the Haredi programs.
Great.
Wanting people to support all the...
It's unreal. You know, they have these cause matches. You never heard of a cause match, did you? Just kidding. Okay, let's go on, because there's something exciting here about Shevet Levi, the Rambam, at the end of Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel. It's one of the most frequently quoted Rambams in his 14 books of the Mishneh Torah. The Rambam says that although Shevet Levi was obligated in a special way, they were singled out to serve Hashem, nevertheless, even if you're not a Levi, you can become a Levi. Now, Leave out all the jokes about the Reform Rabbi and writing the check for five. You know what I'm talking about, right? The guy comes to Reform Rabbi, wants to be a Kohen. So how much is that going to cost you? $500. So on his way out, the Rabbi says to him, by the way, why'd you want to become a Kohen? He says, my father was a Kohen, my grandfather's a Kohen. So that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about someone who's not a Levi, and he wants to become a Levi. This would be great if everybody could be. We have a problem here, Nashville. We don't have Levim. I mean, it's great if you're a Kohen because you get two aliyahs for the price of one, but we don't have Levim. So the Rambam says that Lo Shevet Levi Bilvad, that it's not the concept of being dedicated to serve Hashem and fulfilling the Yikhuli Truma is not limited to someone whose genealogy is that of a Levi, but rather. Anyone who separates himself and designates himself to be a Mora Hora B'Yisrael, that he could study Torah and transmit the Torah, he becomes part of Shevet Levi, not in the physical sense, but symbolically. And that you'll see if you're in the middle column here, in the next to the last paragraph, is a quote from the Rambam in bold print. And he says, "Lo Shevet Levi Bilvad." This is not exclusive for the Shevet of Levi, but rather Kol Ish V'Ish Mikol Bay Olam Asher Nodva Rucho. Now, take a look at that phrase Nodva Rucho. If you can underline that, I have a couple extra pens and pencils here if you need. Nodva Rucho means his heart prompts him. What does that sound like? Just by sheer association, did you ever come across a similar phrase to Nodva Rucho? Well, okay, so you're not learning Parshas Truma. But if you were learning Parshas Truma, you would see that Parshas Truma opens up with the words, May Ish Asher Yidvenu Libo.
Isn't that attached?
Nodva Rucho means he's prompted by his heart. Something moves him. It's not something that's standard. You know, like, I remember when we were in the army, so they, you know, the Mfaqed would ask us, who's willing to do this? And most people try to work out, but all of a sudden everybody turns the other way. You know what I'm saying? And there's one guy whose heart prompts him. You know, he wants to do it. He wants to be the one. So in the parasha of Truma that we're going to read, Amir Tzachem, in 2 days' time, the Truma, this contribution, is being offered by someone who's Yidvero Libo. He has what's called Nidivut HaLev. His heart prompts him. It's totally voluntary. There's no coercion. And the Rambam says, if you want to become a card-carrying member of Shevet Levi, there's no coercion, but you can join up with Shevet Levi. And that's Asher Nodva Rucho. And he wants to stand in front of Hashem, dedicate himself exclusively to the service of Hashem. He wants to, instead of having the responsibility on his shoulders of making a living and bringing in the food, instead of that, he dedicates himself full-time to the study of Torah, like my friend Adam, right? Adam Carroll, everybody knows Adam, right? Now, Reisen is Kadesh Kodesh Kadoshim. The Rambam describes him as the Holy of Holies. And Hashem somehow is going to take care of him. Okay, that's what it says over here. And he becomes like the Shevet Levi and the Kohanim who received the Truma. So Hashem says, I'm going to give you a Truma. Why? Because you gave me a Truma. Truma means Torah Mem. So we have now a very reciprocal relationship here, which applies not just to the Kohanim, not just exclusively to Levim, but applies to every single Jew whose heart prompts him to bring the Truma, and the Truma here means the study of Torah. To dedicate himself to the study of Torah, b'nedivus halev, because he's so motivated, and he volunteers to put himself in the category of a Levi, he will be zocha to the Truma. And the Rambam closes this presentation by saying, V'yizkelo, v'yolam hazeh, dovra maspiklo, he'll be able to have what he needs. God will take care. God's not promising that he'll have a luxury mansion, you know what I mean? That he's going to live in those fancy neighborhoods, you know, like in South Africa, they have these fancy, right, where those, they have that neighborhood there, in very fancy. No? No, no. Maybe I'm making a mistake. I remember I was in Johannesburg, I saw some really nice mansions. Of course, it was locked up with 50 different locks, like Houdini couldn't have even gotten in over there. But, you know, that's life in South Africa. Now, if you go to Tennessee, that's already something. That's a different madrigal entirely. I mean, we won't go into that. I mean, you know that some of the major funds for the Democratic Party come from the city of Memphis, Tennessee. Now, why they support the Democrats, I never understood, but that's a different issue. I don't want to mention politics here, because we may have some Democrats in the audience and so forth. You do? Okay, we have a Democrat right here. Okay. I'm the old-fashioned Republican, like my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik.
That's because you haven't lived in the United States for a long time.
Yeah, okay. May Ace call Isha Sheyidvenu Libo Tikhu es Trumasi. So who's going to offer this truma? Anybody can offer this truma. If only he has the Nedivus HaLev. If only his heart prompts him. And he dedicates himself to Torah Mem. That's called truma. And then, if so, Hashem says, you know what? I have a truma for you. You'll be able to successfully dedicate yourself to the study of Torah. But it's only if you volunteer. Nobody's going to force you. There's no compulsion. No compelling you. But now we want to understand, what's the significance of the 40 days over here? Right? The Baal Turim says that the word Truma is made up of two parts. You have the Torah and you have the Mem. Now it's true that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain for 40 days, but why is the Torah building so much on the number 40? Torah, Truma, the difference being the Mem. So here you want to look in the second paragraph of the left column if you're following the text. And we're going to take a look at a Pasuk in Dvarim. Moshe Rabbeinu describes what it was like for him for 40 days up on the mountain. And you and I might think he's boasting a little bit, but he's not boasting, he's teaching us something. He says, "Ba'alosi ahar lakachas luchos ha'evin luchos ha'bris shakos ha'shem imokam v'yishev bahar arba'im yom v'arba'im laila." Now look at this. "Lechem lo achalti umayim lo shasisi." How would you describe the experience of Moshe, or the level of Moshe during those 40 days? If he's not eating bread, he's not eating what?
Yom Kippur.
Yeah, but I'm saying, leave out Yom Kippur. I mean to say, in terms of the universe as we know it, you know, there are different elements into the universe. There are physical elements. You know, man has to eat, he has to drink. And then there is something divine, spiritual. Exactly. Moshe's living on a spiritual level. Completely divorced from the physical needs that you and I have. There's no way that scientifically or medically you can explain, based on the natural law, that someone can live for 40 days. Chazal say you can't even go 3 days. 40 days without bread and without water. So why is Moshe Rabbeinu boasting about that? The answer is, Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us something fundamental. And that is, how could we possibly achieve this goal, which is called Zechut HaTorah, which means to merit, to understand Torah, to comprehend, to possess Torah, to make it into mine. And the answer is, you can't be dedicated to this world. You know, people like to eat a lot. You know, some people like milchik, some people like fleishiks. I personally like both. I don't know about you. I mean, a good pizza, I mean, I'd never give up a good pizza. Now I'm on a spelt diet, so I eat spelt pizza. That's very rare to get a place that sells you. In Yericho, I think they have one.
Yes.
I don't know about Malei Adumim. This I don't know. My diet, I lived with Malei Adumim a few years. We didn't get pizza over there. But you know, Malei Adumim has gone a long way since my day. But in any event, I like fleishiks too. You know, give me a good steak, man, I wouldn't give it up for anything. But, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Berzon, you're okay, but you're not on this level here of the 40 days. You know, that's not what we're looking for. You want to be a candidate for Truma? You want to have the Torah with the Mem? It's got to be what we call Prishut. Prishut means separating yourself from this world. If you're totally gluttonous and you're totally dedicated to pursue your hedonistic pleasures, don't even blink. You don't have a chance in a lifetime for this level of Truma. And this is all reflected in the famous Mishnah at the end of Pirkei Avos, which you'll see here in the third paragraph. Kachi darkashal Torah. Somebody really wants to merit the Torah, you know, be crowned with the crown of Torah. Paspa mel tochal mayim bamishorat tishe al oretz tishan chaytzar tichye. And it means ba Torah ta'omel. If you're dedicated to Torah, you cannot be dedicated at the same time to enjoy the pleasures of this world. It's either or. It's a choice, and you have to make that decision. And therefore, the Gemara says in Masechta Brachos, on the Pasuk in Chukas, it says, Zos Chukas HaTorah, Onam Ki Yomus Ba'Oel, So Minayin She'en Divrei Torah Miskaimel B'Misha Memes Atzmo. If you're not ready to sacrifice, if you're not ready to give up on the pleasures of this world, if it's not Adam Ki Yomos Ba'ohel, then you're not going to achieve Zos HaTorah. You're not going to achieve that Kiyum, that ultimate existence of Torah. And Tosus says in Masechta Ksubis, in the name of the Medrash, Ad Sha'adam Ispal She'ikon Eis Torah L'Tov Piv, Ispal She'ikon Se'i Madanim L'Tov Piv. If he is praying to Hashem that the Torah should penetrate into his very being, then he should penetrate that the food and the enjoyment and the pleasures and the sweets should not penetrate through his whole essence, his whole goof. Because if you want to be dedicated to physicality and material enjoyment and pleasure, that is mutually exclusive from dedicating yourself to the spiritual pursuits of Torah. So therefore, Truma, the number Mem, 40, is very significant because Mem symbolizes that concept of Prishut, of separating yourself from the pleasures of this world. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy yourself. You can enjoy yourself, but within reason. Not to make that a priority. You know, we have a system of values, and in our system of values, if you want to be Zocha for Torah, again, only if your heart prompts you, you have to be willing to volunteer for that. But once you do, then in our system of values, the physical pleasures of this life become secondary to spirituality. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah in the third perek that a person who wants to be Zocha Bekeser Torah, which is the crown of Torah, Lo Yasiach Daito Lidvar Macherim, the Rambam's language, he should not be distracted for other things. He's got to be single-mindedly focused exclusively on Torah study. And who is going to be the paradigm for our discussion today of someone who gives Truma, who is totally dedicated to Torah? It's going to be none other than Rabbi Yochanan himself. And the Gemara tells us about Rabbi Yochanan that he was a very rich person. He had sadot, and if you turn to page 2, or flip your page around, depending, I hope you have page 2, he had sadot. Now, what grows usually in a field, classically, when you hear the word sadeh? Wheat, the 5 species of grains. And then he has a kerem. What grows in a kerem?
Grapes,
correct? And then he has mata zeitim, that's olive. So look what he has here. And apparently he inherited all this from one of his Mauritian. I don't know if it was his father, his grandfather, we don't know. And what did he do with it all? He sold it. And why did he sell it? So the Gemara tells us he sold it kidei sheyuchal lasok b'Torah, so that he could dedicate himself to Torah study. And the Gemara, I'm sorry, the Medrash in Shir Shirin quotes a pasuk, and that pasuk is going to be interpreted as referring to Rabbi Yochanan. So we're going to read the Hebrew translation of this Medrash, and we'll see the pasuk in Shir Shirin. Rabbi Yochanan hayometayel viola mitveri letzipori vayerabchia bar Abba tomech bo lishoin al ktefo. There were two great scholars who were walking from Tveria to Tzipori on their way. Maybe they went by donkey, I don't know. And Rabbi Chiya was helping out his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan. He gil is sod achas. They passed the field. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, sod ezu shali haisa. This was my field. Umachartia, and I sold the kadesha ucha la'amol b'toras. I can dedicate myself to the study of Torah. He gil ekeramecha. They passed the vineyard. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan said, Kerem zeh sheli haya. This was Rabbi Yochanan's kerem. Umachartiv, and I sold it, kidei sheuchal lamon b'torah. He gyu l'sada zayis, and they came to the olives. The Amar, this was my olive field, my grove, and I sold it in order that I should be able to dedicate myself to Torah. And Rabbi Chiya bursts out in tears. So Rabbi Yochanan says to him, why are you crying? I'm not crying. Why are you crying? So Rabbi Chiya answers him, I'm crying because you sold everything. What are you going to have in your older age? You left nothing in the bank. You know, there's no insurance here. So Rabbi Yochanan answers, you think that this was easy for me? You think that what I did is nikhle beinecha? You know, you know why I sold it? Because these possessions are worth 6, and I sold them for the sake of something that's worth 40. 40 is worth a lot more than 6. Macharti dorish anitan l'sheisha sayomin. I sold something that was created by God in 6 days, in the 6 days of creation. But the Torah was given in 40 days. And he quotes the pasuk that we saw earlier, Vayeshev Bahar Arbaim Yom. So Rav Yochanan says, you know what? I was willing to give up on something that is material, that is limited, that is here today and gone tomorrow. It's from the Sheshes Yimei Habreishis for the sake of something that's eternal, something that you never give up on. And that is the 40 days of Torah. And on this story, the Medrash quotes a pasuk in Shir HaShir, V'yitein ish es kol hon beiso v'ahava. Is Bozi of Uzulo. He's willing to give up all the hon. Hon means all his wealth. For the sake of Ava, because he loves the Torah. And Bozi of Uzulo. And then he turns around at this physical possession. He says, it's meaningless to me. I sold it. I'm not jealous. I'm not regretting what I did. And the question that we want to ask is, what is this emphasis here on the 6 days of creation of the Torah? On the other hand, is the 40 days of Torah. Why did Rabbi Yochanan just simply say, you know what? I think that Torah represents not only this world, but the next world, the eternal world. And I sold my possessions that belong to Olam Hazeh for the sake of something that's permanent, that's eternal, that's Olam Haba, that's the Torah. Why did he have to mention the number 6 and the number 40? And we're going to try to understand this question if we get a little bit of a taste of what is in our parasha, the building of the Beis HaMikdash. What's it all about? If you look in the middle column here on page 2, the Medrash says that whenever you see the word Li in the Torah or in Tanakh, Li indicates something that is absolutely eternal. Li is Li Olam. And now the question is, this is the question I'm presenting you is by the Berzhan of Rav. People think I'm related to him because my name is Berzhan. But that's Berzhan and my name is Berzhan. I can't claim I was related to the Maharaj Dam. Anyway, he asked the following question. He says, it says in the Pasuk, V'asu li migdash. And Chazal tells us that whenever there's the word li means it's eternal. And yet the Beis HaMikdash we know is destroyed. The second Mikdash was destroyed. You can't say that Li is applicable of Kiyum Liolam. So that's his question. But the answer is, we have to understand what the purpose and the essence of the Beis HaMikdash is. Why does God want us to build a Beis HaMikdash? And the answer is, V'shachanti V'socham, because God wants to have a close relationship with the people of Israel. He says, you know what? I can be up in the seventh sphere, all the way up in the Zvulim, and we can have a long distance relationship. Call me up long distance, or I can come close and I can be in an abode right next to you if you want a closer relationship. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Mikol ish asher yidvenu libo." If somebody is his heart prompts him to have a closer relationship, he wants the Shechina, the divine presence, to be close to him, then the Asuli Migdash, come forward with your contribution, and we'll take that and build a Beis HaMikdash. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I'm going to give you a Beis HaMikdash, but I'm also at the same time going to give you a duplicate, a replica of the Beis HaMikdash, and that's going to be the Torah. And this is expressed in the Medrash. You'll see it in the main paragraph in the second column. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Macharti Lachem Torasi. It's as if I sold you my Torah because Ki Lekach Tov Nasati Lachem. I gave you a good buy. I gave you a good deal. You didn't even pay for it yet, and I'm already giving you the Torah. But Kaviyachol Nimkarta Ima. You bought, you received not only the Torah, but you received me with it. And that's what it means, V'yikhu li truma, meaning li. There's something here that's eternal, something here that's permanent. And even with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, that gift still exists. And what is that? That's the Torah. That's the truma that we spoke about before. And what we derive from this is that the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash essentially is the mitzvah of bringing the Shechina down from the higher worlds, down into this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashri Shechina specifically, particularly, in a concentrated way between the Kruvim. Now the Kruvim are situated on top of what? The Aron. Now what's inside the Aron? The Shtei Luchas HaBris. The Luchas HaBris represent the Torah, and Moshe Rabbeinu hears the voice of God between the Kruvim on top of the Torah. And therefore, what we have here in the Beis HaMikdash is the Diburim of Torah, the Torah itself. that's going to be transmitted to Moshe Rabbeinu through Bein HaKruvim, between the Kruvim. And therefore, what happens today after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara in Brachos, which you'll see on the top left on the fourth line, says the following in Brachos Daf Ches Miyom Shecharev Beis HaMikdash. Where is the Shechina? After all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you said, Bilbi HaMikdash, V'shachanti V'socham, there'll be Ashras HaShechina, and it's going to be Li. Li means Li Olam. That it's got a Kiyum Li Olam. Where is that? Says the Gemara, from the moment that the Beis HaMikdash fell, Ein lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu bo'olamo el adalat amo shel halacha bilvad. When we dedicate ourselves to the study of Torah, we achieve the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash, namely the Hashras HaShechina. And that's what Chazal tell us, that if a person dedicates himself to Torah, and it goes down in different levels, the Mishnah in Avos on the bottom left of your page says, Asara sheyoshim v'yoskim v'torah. If you have 10 people studying Torah, then Shechina Shruya Beinehem. Elokim Nitzav Badas Kel. Adas Eda means 10 Jews. Uminayin Shafilu Echad. Even one person who's studying the Torah on his own privately is Kol Mokom Asher Azkir Shmi Avoy Lechu Beratich Hashem. Visits a person who's studying Torah. If you've ever seen, I don't know if you ever had this experience, where in the middle of the night, for one reason, you're a guest in someone's house and you have to get up in the middle of the night and you see, I don't know if you ever had this experience, I had this and I'll never forget it, you see the host who's sitting at 3 a.m. in the morning sitting and learning Torah, and you feel like there's an aura of the Shechina in that living room, and you begin to see that your host is such a great person. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Rosh Hashanah that Eser Masos Nasa Shechina, that the Shechina was, in a sense, removed from the Beis HaMikdash in 10 different stages. And the Gemara actually goes through the 10 different stages. But all these stages indicate that if we forsake the Torah, then the Shechina departs from the Beis HaMikdash. But the Gemara also tells us that if, on the other hand, we want the fulfillment of the promise in Hosea, Elecha Shuv El Mekomi, that God promises, I will return to my place. Says Rashi, if we do the opposite of the siluk, of that which removed the Shechina, namely we dedicate ourselves to Torah, then God promises us that He will return to the place from which He departed. So it means the sins of Klal Yisrael were responsible for what's called siluk Shechina, for the removal of Shechina, and that's when the Beis HaMikdash was just Eitzim Avon, it was just a physical structure and it was destroyed. But if, on the other hand, we dedicate ourselves to Torah study, and even one person who studies Torah alone brings down the Shechina, then we have achieved Hachzoras HaShechina B'Yisrael. It means that the Beis HaMikdash still continues to exist today. It's Li. It's Miyom Shecharev Beis HaMikdash. If you want to follow me on page 3, Ein Lo Ala Kodesh Baruch Malom El Dalet Amos. When our Kodesh Baruch was Mashre His Shechina, the Shechina came down on the Beis HaMikdash. What happens with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? The answer is Li. There still is Hashras HaShechina, but the remnants of the word Li, the hint here, is to something that would bring the Hashras HaShechina Li Olam for all eternity, and that's going to be Adam HaOsek B'Torah. And therefore, we have the possibility, through our dedication to Torah study, to create a replica of the Beis HaMikdash, to make the Beis HaMikdash Li, a Dovra Kayim Liolam, something that exists for all eternity, to bring down the Shechina, just as it were, at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And if this be the case, my friends, we begin to answer a question that all the Mefarshim, all the commentaries ask. The Pasuk says at the beginning of Truma, V'yasuli Mikdash V'shachanti V'socho. Is that what it says? No. It says V'shachanti V'socham. And everybody asks, it should have said B'socho. But take a look at the word B'socho. What's the last letter in the word B'socho? Vav. And how much is the word Vav worth? Six. And how many days did God create this physical material universe? Six. And instead, put the mem as a replacement of the vav. V'shachanti, where's the Shechina going to be? Bisocham with the Mem, if they dedicate themselves to the study of Torah, which was given for 40 days and 40 nights to Moshe Rabbeinu, that level of dedication to Torah is going to achieve Vishachanti Bisocham, replace the Vav with a Mem. The purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is Bisocham, that every single Jew could have, can become like a Mishkan of Shechina, a place for the abode of the Shechina. And how do you fulfill that? Bishachanti Bisocham. How can you elevate yourself to the level of Ashras HaShechina? And the answer is with the Mem of the 40 days of Torah that replaces the Vav of Bisocho, of this world. And now we begin to understand the depths of what Rabbi Yochanan was saying to his Talmud, Rabbi Chia, when he said to him, Chia, Bini, my son Chia, Nikla Zubei Nechamash Asisi, are you making light of what I did, that I sold something that was created in 6 days? Kisheshis Yomim Asa, we're now in the middle paragraph, in the middle column, but the Torah was given in 40 days. What Rabbi Yochanan wanted to tell his student was that V'yosuli Migdash V'shachanti B'socham, the Mem is the Hashras HaShechina. And even if we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, the Migdash was long destroyed, nevertheless Rabbi Yochanan says we can fulfill V'shachanti B'socham and the Migdash becomes eternal. It's Li. And how do we get the Li? Because it's B'socham. Because I sold my possessions of 6 days for the sake of the Torah, which was given in 40 days. And that's V'shachanti B'socham. And that's why the Vav of B'socho is replaced with the Mem of B'socham. And this is to teach us that if the Beis HaMikdash expresses the great desire, the intense desire of the Ribbono Shel Olam, of the Divine Being, that He wants to be Mashra, His Shechina amongst us, then He's saying to us, you know what? We have the opportunity to bring that Shechina down, with or without the Beis HaMikdash. And in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, instead of V'socho, in the Migdash, there's going to be V'socham if we dedicate ourselves to the Mem of Torah, which means that we have to give up a lot. We have to be willing to sacrifice. A man comes home from a hard day's work. He's put in X number of hours. He woke up very early. And he comes to a shir at night with such sacrifice. That's called V'shachanti V'socham. That really justifies the V'yikhuli Truma, the Truma which is made up of Torah of Mem, that every Jew, if his heart prompts him, he can dedicate himself. Some can dedicate themselves full time and sit and learn in a kollel. Others can dedicate an hour a day or a half hour a day, whatever they can. But there's a sense of Nidivus Alev. There's a sense of I want to do this. I'm motivated. No one's forcing me. No one's hitting me over the head. And then I become V'shachanti V'socham. Then it becomes me Isha Shayidveno Libo with the Diva Salev, Tikhu es Trumasi. He writes here in the Shvile Pinchas, Ki Afilu, this is towards the bottom of the main paragraph here in the middle column on page 3, Afilu li Elu Hatzrichim Lefarnis es Bnei Beisam, those who go out to work in order to support in an honest way their family. Nevertheless, Im Kovim Itim Litorim Mesiris Nefesh. They set up a set time, and so important. I think, Doc, your next book, after the one on alacrity, should be on Kvius Itim. It's almost the same. I mean, it's the next level of Kvius Itim, which means no matter what happens, I am dedicated to that one set hour of learning. And there are stories I can tell you about people alive today that had they're businessmen, very wealthy. I'm thinking specifically of a person in Los Angeles. He's a big baltzok, and they wanted to come and interrupt him when he was learning for a big deal, a major business investment, and he refused. This is Kvius Itim. So what am I doing through Kvius Itim? I'm giving up the Vav. Forget about that business deal that represents the 6 days of this world for the sake of the Mem, for the sake of the 40 days of Moshe Rabbeinu, Lechem lo achalti, Mayim lo shasisi. And now I want to achieve a Shachanti v'socham, that Hashem should be Mashri Shechina, because I converted the Vav into a Mem. And now we get to the main discussion for today. That was all just an introduction. I'm kidding. There's another great story about our our hero of today, Rabbi Yochanan. Another great story. We're going to try to connect the two stories. Rabbi Yochanan had a chevrusa who was great in Torah, and his name was Ilfa. That was his name, Ilfa. I would have changed my name if I had the name Ilfa, but okay. I have a friend whose name is Ilson. Okay, so it's close enough to Ilfa. Anyway, Ilfa was a great tzaddik, and he was a great Talmud Chacham. And the Gemara tells us in Masechta Tainus, I don't know if you got the Chof Aleph yet in Tainus. No. So you get a little bit of a preview of coming attractions on the left column, on the top. The Gemara says that Ilfa of Rabbi Yochanan, Havigarsi Bo'orais, so they were learning together in yeshiva as a chevrusa. And what happened? Dechikule Milsa, they realized that their monies, their funds had run out. There was nothing left in their pocket. Amri, so they said, Nekum, let's get up. Let's leave the Beis HaMedrash, v'nezil, and we'll go v'nevar iska, and we'll have to invest something. And again, I don't know how much money they had to invest, because it sounded like they were penniless, but v'nekayim v'nafshin, and we'll fulfill the pasuk in Dvarim that says, efes ki lo yia b'cha evyon. In other words, the Torah is saying, we don't want, God doesn't want people to be destitute. He wants people to be above the poverty line. So therefore, what we have to do at this point, apparently, God put us into this situation where we have no choice. We have to close the sefer, go out, and make a living. By the way, if we have time later, I have a very cute Hasidic story, if you never heard it, about this idea of going out and investing when you don't have too much money to invest. What do you do in such a case? The Rebbe gave one of his Talmidim a great etzah, which I want to tell you about. In any event, Asli Osve Tuse Guda Re'ia. They didn't pay attention, and when they went out, they sat down maybe to eat a little sandwich or something, and they sat underneath a wall, and it was a guda. Guda is a wall at the beginning of Avas, right? Re'ia means it was shaky. And Havi Kokarchi Rifta, they were eating their bread, and two Malachi Asharis came along. That's what the Gemara tells us in Tainus. So when you get to the Gemara, it'll sound familiar to you. Shamei Rabbi Yochanan hears the Malachim speaking to each other. Apparently, Ilfa could not hear, as we'll soon see. One Malach turns to the other and he says, Nishtei Alayu Haiguda, let's push the wall, which is anyway about to fall, and let's kill them. Why do they deserve to die? He says, they're willing to forfeit the world to come. And instead, they're looking. What do you say?
They intend to go into business.
And they intend
to go into business.
At least on a temporary basis. I can't say that they wanted to end up in business. But maybe for a month, for a year, for 2 years, whatever it would take to gather some funds. But that's called Oskim V'chayisha. Omer Le'idach Shavkinu. The other Malach said, no, we're not going to kill them. Why? Because the Ikabu Chad, one of these two gentlemen, the Kaimile Shaita literally translates as the hour is for him, is going to stand up for him. What does it mean? Shasha Omedislo, meaning he has the potential, Lihiz Gadel, to become great. And at this point in time, he hasn't yet maximized his potential. Rabbi Yochanan heard this, and he turns to Ilfa, and he says to him, did you hear what I heard? He says to him, I didn't hear anything. So Rabbi Yochanan talks to himself. He thinks out loud, so to speak. If God set it up in such a way that I would hear these words and Ilfa would not, I should derive the conclusion that apparently the one that was being described and he had to be saved, right? He had to be saved, so therefore they saved the other one as well. He realized that this was a message from the heavens that he could be great. And he hasn't yet reached his potential. This is the great Rabbi Yochanan in his youth. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, he turns to Ilfa and he says, I'm going back to the yeshiva. Because the Torah says, Ki lo yechdal evyon mikerev haaretz, and it means that people who are dedicated to the study of Torah, they are like evyonim, and yet nevertheless, they are great. And Ilfa went ahead as was planned, and he went into business. Again, I'm not sure that he went into business full time, but whatever time. Rabbi Yochanan goes back to the yeshiva to study Torah.
Rabbi Yochanan must have supported you.
Maybe. Adi Osa Ilfa. Ilsa comes back. We don't know if it was, again, it was a month, a year, 10 years, I don't know how much long. And in the meantime, they had appointed Rabbi Yochanan, the Rosh Yeshiva, who's called a melech, he's called a king, like Man Malchi Rabbanon. And the minhag then was that once you appointed a Jew to be the head of the whole yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva, they would support him. Like it says by the Kohen Gadol, that the Kohen Gadol was supported by Klal Yisrael. So the people told Ilfa the following. E osiv mar vigoris. They spoke to him in third person. They said, had you decided to dedicate yourself to Torah study instead of going out to the business world, lo havis melach Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan would not have been appointed as the king. Which means that you were even greater than Rabbi Yochanan. Your potential was even greater, but you decided to leave the Torah world and dedicate yourself to business. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, we're up to page 4, decided for himself that if I heard this message, let me take it to heart. Let me understand that I have the potential of becoming someone great in Torah. And therefore I decided not to leave the yeshiva, to go back to the yeshiva. And I would fulfill the pasuk, Efes ki lo yeh b'cha evyon. Now why is it? That's the question on the Gemara in Tainis. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up this whole scenario, this whole blow-by-blow episode, in a way that Rabbi Yochanan would hear the schmoozing of the Malachim, and Ilfa would not. If Ilfa was greater than Rabbi Yochanan, so there's a super commentary on the Agadah called the Ein Yaakov. I don't know how many of you use the Ein Yaakov. If you're learning Masechta Tainis, you got to get a hold of the Ein Yaakov. So the Ein Yaakov writes the following. That Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan were studying together in the Beis Medrash. They were studying Torah. And Ilfa was even greater than Rabbi Yochanan. But it seems that Ilfa was the one who took the initiative. He turns to Rabbi Yochanan. He says, look, we're suffering, we're poor, let's go out and work. Rabbi Yochanan was the second, he was a katan. He was not a katan, meaning in the sense that he was a minor, but in comparison to Rabbi Yochanan, he was a lesser cohort. So therefore, he was schlepped along by Ilfa. And therefore, says Ein Yaakov, Ilfa did not hear the words of the Malachi HaShoyis, because he was the one that initiated the decision that they would close the Gemaras and go out and make a living. However, the Shvilei Pinchas wants to offer a different approach. And he says, look at the Gemara's language. The Gemara says, Amri, they said, Nekum v'nezel. It doesn't say anywhere, indicate that Ilfa was the one who took the initiative. It seems like they both made a joint decision. And therefore, once again, we're left in the dark as to why Rabbi Yochanan would hear the message from on high. He would be Zocha to be the great Rosh Yeshiva. What is special about Rabbi Yochanan? And the answer is, because it was Rabbi Yochanan who early in his youth, being a rich man who had inherited so much property and so much possession, was willing to part with all his possessions and sell them. And now the Shvila Pinchas has a whole discussion here about how he knows the sequence of these two events. How does he know that Rabbi Yochanan, even in his youth, had sold all his possessions, and that this episode between him and Ilfa took place after he had sold it? In any event, I'm not going to get into that now because we're running out of time, but if you take a look in the middle paragraph, you'll see that Masha Zachar Rav Yochanan, why is he, Rav Yochanan, singled out to hear, or shall we say to overhear, the discussion amongst the Malachi Asharis? that was in his merit, because he, B'Mesiris Nefesh, was willing to sell all his possessions for the sake of Esek HaTorah. And in truth, as Chio broke out in tears when they passed all these different beautiful things and Rabbi Yochanan said, I sold it. What did you leave for your Zikna? What did you leave for your old age? Right? Don't we all have to have a little, what do they call it? You know, when you leave something for the future, what's the phrase in English? There's like
a nest egg.
Nest egg. You know, you have to leave a nest egg, right? A pension for the old age. And Rabbi Yochanan didn't do so. The answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you're not worried about your old age, I'm going to worry about you. I'm going to see to it that you will be supported. You'll get the truma from Hashem. You'll receive the man min Hashemayim, because you will be elected as the Rosh Hashiva. And this is a fulfillment of what the Gemara says, which is on the top of your page 3. I don't want you to lose the place here, so you don't have to look at it. But the Gemara says, the Mishnah says in Avos Kol Makayim Es HaTorah Mi'Oni, if somebody fulfills the Torah out of poverty, Sofo L'Kayimah Mi'Osher, at the end, God will see to it that he's able to fulfill the Torah in Osher with wealth. And that's a remez to Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan sold all his possessions, knowing full well that he would be a poor man when he was a rich man, for the sake of Truma, for the sake of Torah of Mem, giving up on this world for the sake of dedication to Torah. And Hashem says, you know what? You didn't put a nest egg for the old age. I'll take care of you. And now, there's an amazing, amazing chiddush here in the Shvilei Pinchas. And I'm very excited about this. Please keep in mind, as we go through the Gemara in Brachas Lamed Hey, which is in the middle column on page 4, that Rabbi Yochanan possessed three different types of fields, or I don't know what you want to call them, farming produce, right? Agriculture, right? Keep that in mind. Because that was the Gemara that we started with on the bottom of page 1, going on to the top of page 2. Now let's learn the Gemara of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Very, very famous Gemara in Masecht Brachos. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said the following. The Torah says, V'yasafta digonecha, go ahead and harvest your crops. Efshar, is this possible? Adam Choresh, at the time of plowing, he plows. Zoreh, at the time of seeding, he seeds. V'kotze, at the time of harvesting, he harvests. And then he has to do what's called Disha, and he has to do Zriya. These are all different malachos, what we call Meleches HaPas, Sidur de Pas. But Torah might hail Leha. If he's so dedicated to his farm, to his plantation, and to his agriculture and produce, he doesn't have time for the Torah study. And therefore, says Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, that when the Torah says, V'yasafta digonecha, what it really means is that God says, you know what, if you're going to dedicate yourself to V'yasafta digonecha, then you're on your own, so to speak. You'll have to produce. But bisman shisrael osim ritzono shel makom, if the Jewish people would dedicate themselves to Torah, this is Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's shita. Rabbi Shmuel disagrees, but that's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Then malachtom nases al yidei acherim, and he quotes a pasuk in Yeshayo that says v'yomdu zorim v'rod sonachem. Reu means shepherding, so this will all be done by others. Then V'yasafta digonecha is really, in a sense, a curse, because if we're not fulfilling the will of God, then we have to get dedicated exclusively to our fields. Now let's take a look at the pasuk. This is a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, if I'm not mistaken. It says V'yasafta digonecha v'siroshcha v'yitzarecha. Now, if you take a look in the parasha in Kriyat Shema, second parasha that we read every day, it says, "V'ayim Shabbat Tishmuel Mitzvosai Sharanochim Tzaveschem Hayom Le'avos Hashem Alkechem Lo'avdo B'chol Vavchem V'chol Nafshechem." Now, this is very interesting. The Torah, in that same parasha in Dvarim Yud Aleph, speaks about a person who is serving Hashem. Right, b'chol avavchem, b'chol nafshchem, and then it says in the very next pasuk, v'yasafta digonecha. We say it every day, twice a day. So how could it be that according to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, this very pasuk of v'yasafta digonecha is a reference to Ein Yisrael Osim Ritzonu Shel Makom, when the Jewish people are not living up to the demands of the Torah? How can it be? I mean, this very pasuk about v'yasaftu gerecha comes in the footsteps of the previous pasuk of someone who is fulfilling b'chol of avchem and b'chol nafshechem. So to explain this, we have an insight of Rav Yaakov Emden, who lived about 5 centuries ago. He's called the Yaivitz. And he says the following. Rav Shimba Yochai is the personification of Toraso Umnoso, someone who's totally dedicated to Torah study. And he leaves behind him, he ignores all of the Inyone Holom Hazeh, anything that's physical, anything that's material, he leaves it behind. And that level, says Rav Yaakov Emden, if you reach that level that Rav Shimon Yochai is describing, then it's malacht on nasis al yidei acherim. Others will do his work for him. The parsha v'hayim shamoa is a reference to those who are fulfilling the mitzvah Hashem, but at the same time they're working, they're earning a living, they're oskim binyanei olam hazeh. They're not on that tremendous level of Rabbi Yochanan, of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who's osim ritzono shel makom and malachto nasis al yedei acherim. Therefore, the pasuk says, "V'yasafta digonecha v'sirosh chavitzarecha." So there are two levels, my friends. There's one level of a person who is not totally dedicated to the service of Hashem. He doesn't cut himself off from this world. He goes out and he works, and he has to produce. He is in the parasha of Ohayim Shamoa, of someone who's dedicated to the mitzvah Hashem. Then we have a new level, says Rav Yaakov Emden, of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, who is exclusively dedicated to Torah. And on his level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Malach to Anasis al Yedei Acherim, you don't have to go out and work. Somehow, miraculously, God will take care of you. So the Hoyim Shamoa represents the good people, the good solid citizens of Klal Yisrael, dedicated to the Torah. And it's not a curse that it says V'yasafta digonecha, because on their level Hashem says to them, go and work, go and produce, and then you're going to support yourselves. Now I'm up to an unbelievable paragraph here that starts with the word Vehine. If you're following me in the text, it's on the left column on page 4, and especially the paragraph afterwards, Ulam. And he says the following. If we'll be very careful and read the language of the Medrash that we started with today very meticulously about the tiul, you know, from Tveria to Tzipori of these two, the Rav Yochanan with his student Rav Chia, you'll see that first they passed a sada, and as you said, Doc, before, the sada means it's a wheat field. Because usually when we use the word sadeh, it means a wheat field. Then they pass the kerem. Right? A kerem is where they grow grapes. It's a vineyard. And then, in the third level, they passed a matazesim. They passed olives. From olives we get shemen. We get oil. Olive oil. So Rabbi Yochanan, who at that time in his life, early in his life, was dedicated to his possessions until he sold them, he was in the gather of V'yasafta digonecha v'siroshcha v'yitzarecha. If you take a look at that pasuk, unbelievable. It's got 3 words. It's got digonecha, which is a reference to sada. It's got tiroshcha, which is a reference to zesim. And tiroshcha is anovim. And yitzarecha is a reference to shemen zayis. So at this point in his life, Rabbi Yochanan fits into the description of V'yasafta digonecha. He's not on the level of Shimon bar Yochai. He's living in this world and he's earning a living with these 3 categories of fields and possessions that he inherited from his forefathers. And therefore, he's got to do the work himself. But now, Rabbi Yochanan reaches a crossroads in his life. And he makes a decision that I'm going to give up the Sada, the Kerem, and the Zesim. I'm going to give up on the Ganecha, Tiroshcha, Yitzarech, I'm going to sell all my possessions. I'm leaving nothing for myself, not even a nest egg, to support myself in my older age. He reaches the level of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, the level of someone who's exclusively dedicated to the next world, to the world of Torah, to spirituality and divinity, cut off, as it were, from this world. And therefore, if he's Rav Shimon bar Yochai, then the Torah promises him that Malach Tom Nasas al Yedei Acherim, you will be chosen, Rabbi Yochanan, to be the Rosh Yeshiva. Not Ilfa, but you. Because you're willing to give up everything to go back to the Beis Medrash. And even if it means suffering and poverty, but you know that Hashem somehow, because Kalam Akayim is at Torah, me oni, soful is Kayim Yosha, God will take care of me, Malachto Nasa Sal Yidacherim. And therefore, the people of Israel uplifted and appointed Rabbi Yochanan, upgraded him to the level of Gadleo Mishal Achiv to be the Melech, to be the Rosh Hashiva, and therefore they took care of all his physical needs. And with this, we take a look at the Gemara in Masech to Shabbos. The Gemara says, Misha Torasu Umnaso, Eino Mafsik Litfila. Unbelievable. The Gemara says that if someone fits the category of Torasu Umnaso, he is totally ignores this world. All he cares about is his Torah studies. Then he doesn't even have to stop and terminate his learning for the sake of Tfila, of prayer. Oh, Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shanu, don't think that this is a green light for everyone. That anyone could say, well, you know, I'm dedicated to Torah study, I'm not going to daven. Oh, no, no. That's only Kegon Rabbi Shimba Yochai. That's if you reach the level of Rabbi Shimba Yochai, who doesn't need the tefillah, so to speak, because God is with him. It's Malato Nasis al Yidei Acherim Aval Kegon Anu. But we, at our level, we have to be mafsik. We have to terminate our Torah study for the sake of reciting Kriyat Shema and tefillah. Ki Rabbi Yochanan, with his great midah of anav, of humility, he didn't feel about himself that he had reached the level of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed that he, in fact, was in the level of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and therefore Hashem sent him Malachi Asharis to notify him that he could go back to the Torah, to the Beis Medrash. He doesn't have to engage in business. And God says to him, I will take care of you, just like I take care of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's Torasum Naso. He doesn't need tefillah. He doesn't have to go out and work. He doesn't need vasaf to Dugonecha. You, Rabbi Yochanan, have given up on Dugonecha, Tiroshcha, V'Yitzarecha. And therefore, you fit into the category of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. You will be Zoche to be appointed as the great Rabbi Yochanan, the Rosh Yeshiva, and you will be supported by the people. You have fit into the category of V'Shachanti V'Socham, because you're dedicated to the Mem, the Shechina is with you. You have given up on the V'Shachanti V'Socho, at the Vav, of Shesh Yismei Breshis, for the sake of B'Socham, of the Mem, and therefore God says, you are my Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, but you are the personification of the Beis HaMikdash. Ein L'Kadosh Baruch Hu Olamo, El Adal and Amo Shel Halacha. And we should all be Zochim Mitzvah Hashem to appreciate the Torah and realize that we still have the opportunity in our time to experience and to replicate the Beis HaMikdash by being dedicated to the Mem of Torah of Ishakhanti V'Socham Keni Ratzon. Amen. Thank you very much.
We can't get to the level of the Shimon Bar Yochai, we have to be at the level of Yachim Shavuot
Yishvu'u. Halavai, we should get to that level, right, right. V'chol Levavchem V'chol Nafshechem. But it means we got to work. So, you know, at some point, you know, you gotta, you know, if the Mirpah is calling you, you might have to take a little break, and everybody should be zocha to reach higher and higher levels. And the higher level that we get, the more that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will shower down that truma min hashamayim, the man that we said, lo nitna Torah lo kli aman. Okay, then, Doc, if you could do me a favor on your way out, just open the door, because I have a shiur now, and I want to make sure that people will join me for the shiur. Oh, thanks. Yes? No. Ilfa.
Was this
I wouldn't say that. But Ilfa is a great scholar. He's quoted all over Shas. I would assume that at one point in his life, juncture in his life, he had to leave the Beis Medrash. But as soon as he earned something for support, he came back.